I have good news for you. The baby Jesus needed his diapers changed. Now, you may never have read that on a Christmas card, but the truth of that statement is vitally important for you. That Jesus' swaddling clothes could be soiled means that he was a true human being. And that is absolutely essential for your salvation. From all eternity, God the Son existed in inter-Trinitarian fellowship with the Father and the Spirit. As we heard tonight from John 1, in the beginning, he was with God and he was God. And yet, this all-glorious Son chose to trade his heavenly glory for earthly ignominy. As Paul writes about Christ in Philippians 2, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. To the divine nature, the Son added a true human nature. This taking on of human flesh is what we call the incarnation. It is what took place at his conception in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is what we celebrate at Christmas. In fulfillment of ancient prophecy, God the Son became Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh. Why did he do this? What was the purpose of the second person of the Trinity taking on flesh and entering human history? An angel of the Lord told Joseph the purpose of this miraculous conception. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The Son of God was born as a human baby in order to save his people from their sins. This is the true message of Christmas. The incarnation was unto salvation. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, the human race was plunged into sin. When Adam ate the forbidden fruit, his heart was changed. He now had a sin nature which would become his legacy to all who descended from him by ordinary generation. G.K. Chesterton once wrote that original sin was the only part of Christian theology which can really be proved. Just look around you at all the empirical evidence. Can anyone survey the scene or examine his own heart and doubt the truth of the Apostle Paul's blanket condemnation, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God? Terrorism and racism and sexual harassment and government corruption and pride and envy and lust and deceit and covetousness, maybe especially this time of year, covetousness are all symptoms of the root problem of the human race, sin. Sin separates us from a holy God. Sin deserves eternal punishment, and therefore it is from sin that we need to be saved. But how could this happen? Human beings need a human Savior, one of our own, to restore us to God. And yet no human being was qualified to be a Savior. A sinner could not triumph over sin. What was needed was a sinless human being, a second Adam who could break the curse brought on by the first Adam. Jesus is this second Adam, God the Son who came to earth on a mission of salvation. The writer of the book of Hebrews understood the necessity for God to take on human flesh. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren. The necessity of the incarnation for human salvation was expressed well by Gregory of Nazianzus, the 4th century church father, when he said, "What Christ did not assume, he did not heal." The only way for Christ to heal, to redeem human flesh, was by taking human flesh upon himself. And as another 4th century voice, Cyril of Jerusalem, noted, if the incarnation was a phantasm, that is, if it was a fantasy, not real, so too salvation is a phantasm. But thanks be to God, the incarnation was not a phantasm. It is a fact of history. God became man in the person of Jesus. And having assumed human flesh in his incarnation, Jesus lived a sinless life and died a sacrificial death on the cross. He bore in his body the punishment due to the sins of all his people, that they might be clothed in his righteousness and reconciled to God. Incarnation had to pass through humiliation at the cross in order to accomplish salvation. That is the testimony of Scripture. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Philippians 2. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hebrews 2. Jesus was born and laid in a manger so that he might grow up and die on a cross. And this happened so that we might be delivered from bondage to sin and Satan. The call to each of us as human beings is to acknowledge our sinfulness, our utter inability to save ourselves, and then to trust in Jesus and in the power of his perfect life and his substitutionary death for our salvation. We need not fear death and what lies beyond it when we are trusting in the one who through death defeated death. This is the hope of Christmas. How did God the Father respond to the faithful work of his incarnate Son? He raised him from the dead. He exalted him to his right hand in heaven. As Paul tells us, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is no longer a baby in a manger, but he still has a human nature now glorified in heaven. And the glorification of his humanity is a preview and promise of the glorification of all who trust in him. This Christmas, rejoice that God the Son took upon himself real human flesh. He was born a real baby who got hungry and cried and needed to have his diapers changed. Rejoice that Jesus was born as a real human baby so that he could be a savior to others born as real human babies, a savior for sinners like you and like me. Have you given up on your own flawed righteousness to trust in the perfect righteousness of Christ? Have you experienced reconciliation with God through faith in Jesus? If not, then I would invite you to do so now. The celebration of Christ's birth can be a time of spiritual rebirth for you. And to all who have experienced this rebirth, I urge you, rejoice this Christmas that the incarnation was unto your salvation. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we rejoice in the wonderful story of the birth of Christ. And we know that this is not a myth, but that this is a fact of history. And that Jesus came taking upon himself human flesh in order to redeem human beings who were trapped in sin. And we confess that that was our condition before we placed our faith in Jesus. And we pray now that as we enter into this celebration of Christmas, that it would be with great rejoicing because Jesus became incarnate. Jesus became a human being in order that we might be reconciled to you, in order that we might have peace with God. Give us great joy this Christmas and help us be bringers of joy to others, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.